Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking classroom management, specifically consequences. You know what I'm talking about. We have our rules in place, and therefore we got to be prepared when a student makes a poor choice.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, this is episode 86, and today I'm talking about classroom management from the standpoint of consequences. So glad you're here at Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, and let's talk a little bit about this. You know, one of the things that I would do in looking at consequences is I would refresh my memory by going back to Harry Wong's book, The First Days of School, and then I'm going to introduce you to another book, another gentleman by the name of Brian Mendler, and his book, That One Kid. But before we go there, I just want to let you know, where I'm going today is I'm going to get into my six considerations when looking at consequences. And so my first one is it's just between you and the student. And this has to do with don't disrupt class. Number two is going to be involve parents each time. Number three is as immediate as possible. Make it as immediate as possible when you're talking about consequences. Number four is try to handle yourself. Everything except for emergencies. I mean, just try to handle the situations yourself. You know, and number five would be post your consequences, but it shouldn't back you into a corner. And then number six is you got to remember that it should be about owing time, that it's not personal. And so don't let it get to personal. So with that being said, what I'd like to do is let's kind of get into this idea, because I'm asked from time to time when I work with classroom management, we're going to get into rules. And with rules, you need to have a discussion about consequences. So let's talk from this perspective. And first, let's just go ahead and say this. This needs to be up front. We've already had the discussion about procedures, because I totally agree with Harry Wong that typically what happens in a classroom is that there's a lack of procedures. Therefore, the kids don't know what's expected of them, and they tend to step all over those unwritten expectations and those unsaid expectations. And so, therefore, you should take a look at the procedures that you have in classroom. And we'll revisit this another time specifically and just spend time on procedures. But today I want to talk about consequences. And let's just go ahead and get started by saying this. If you're going to have rules, and you need to have rules, you need to have rules that have to deal with the expectations of behavior in the classroom, because you're bringing in together in a classroom kids from everywhere, and they need to understand that in order to get things done, in order for a good learning environment to have, in order to have a good learning environment, we have to be able to have certain behaviors happen, and we need to know how to behave in that situation so learning can take place. Well, once you establish those rules, and they need to be written, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, but, we've talked about this. I'm a firm believer that you need to have no more than five, but really just three. And it seriously needs to be about disrespect, and they need to be written in a positive way. So we're saying, we will respect each other, that type of thing, as opposed to saying, know this, know that. But let's go ahead and move into, you've got your rules written. Let's get into the consequences. And consequences need to exist simply because you're going to have a student who's going to bebop over that line. I mean, they're going to push you to the limit, and some of them are going to do that just to see if you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And this is important because this is how you win over the other kids in your classroom when this happens. Because if you've said, these are my rules, well, you've got to be prepared to say, and now here are my consequences. And so let's just delve into this a little bit before I get into the meat of my six considerations. We have, one of the things that happens is that, and so completely agree with Harry on this. He talks about we need to change our mindset about consequences. And instead of thinking of the idea that, this is anything other than breaking rules, that what we're really talking about is that we're making bad choices. In other words, instead of thinking of punishment in the terms of consequences, we need to think in terms of penalties. So that the idea that, the consequences are that, kids do things, they make poor choices, and there's a penalty that takes place. And when you think about it in this way, kids already understand this because they're in this world of, just about everything they do. And if you look at some of the games they play, especially video games, there are consequences for their actions in those video games, and they understand that. If they make a poor choice, their character could be eliminated, could fall off whatever, could end up being penalized in time. There's any number of things. And so they understand the concept of penalties for actions. Well, if you address it this way in your classroom that we're talking about, you can make poor choices in the class, and when you make those poor choices, there are penalties here as well, as opposed to punishments. This, you may not understand the difference, but there is a huge difference. Because when you come at it that it's all about punishment, there are some kids that are going to push your buttons and say, it's really all about you and your adult rules and the idea that, they're stupid rules. And so just go ahead and put me out of class. And they're going to force you to go right through their steps. It's funny because a couple years ago, I got to meet a gentleman named Brian Mendler. Brian has an awesome website, which I'll include his link, as well as he is a national speaker. And he has some incredible books that he's created, and one of which is That One Kid. And he was that one kid that challenged you in the class. And he talks about that because he was a student who received special ed services. And when he grew up, he became a special ed teacher. And then that led him to teaching special ed teachers, as well as all kinds of teachers, how to deal with de-escalation and how to work with kids like him. Now, he's a little different than other presenters. And one of the things he talks about is that, if you just post those rules up there and your consequences and say, this happens step one, this happens step two, this happens step three, he's going to work to walk you through those steps so that he could leave your classroom, because that's what he wants in the first place. And so he's going to see if you're going to do what you say. So if your consequences are all about punishment, then what he's going to do is push you all the way through them. And oftentimes people just have like three consequences and boom, you're gone. And the third one is referral to administrator and boom, that's what he was looking for. He's thinking, what the heck? I don't need to stay in here. I want to get out of here. So why not just make you send me the administrator? Are you going to do it? And if you don't, because you have it posted up there, what's going to happen? Well, if you don't do it, the other kids are looking and they know that you're just a pushover. So you end up enforcing what you put up on the wall. And that's why, Harry talks about changing your mindset. It's not about punishments. It's about penalties. The idea that you made this choice. I didn't make it for you. You chose to step over the boundary, and now here are the consequences. Here's the penalty for it. And at the end of this podcast, I'm going to get into some specific penalties that you use. But you have to have this mindset first. You have to have this mindset change, because we need to have these set in place in the classroom. Just like our rules, the rules 3 to 5, they need to be posted in the front of the classroom and they need to have a handout on them. They need to also see what the consequences are. And they need to have that on a handout that they keep in their notebook as well. And I often encourage teachers to, you put this in writing, they have it in their notebook, the rules and the consequences, and they sign off on it, and you keep a copy, and they keep a copy, and it's right there in their notebook. Now, once again, let's keep in mind that I believe that you have your procedures in place, because you cannot discipline kids into behaving. That's not the way it works. Matter of fact, once you have to go to that stage, there are some kids that you're going to lose for a little bit, and they may even try and push your buttons just a little bit more to see how far you're willing to enforce your rules. That's okay, because you're going to use them as an example. But the point is just, one of the things, you got to make sure you don't take it personal. All right, so let's take a look at this. We want to take a look at my six considerations for creating your consequences. And number one is, It's between you and the student, which means that you don't want to disrupt the class. So whatever your actions are, it's always between you and the student. So, for example, I really do not like the idea of putting check marks on the board, putting stickers, pulling stickers down, putting stickers up. You know, you have names up there on the board, and whoever has the most stickers is not doing well, that type of thing. Or they all start off with the same amount of stickers, and you pull the smiley faces away as they don't do well. Or the idea that you put up their, you know, little frowny faces or something like this. You know, that's not good, because there are some kids that you're going to make them angry, and by doing what you're doing is actually antagonizing some of them into seeing how many stickers they can get taken down. Because there it is for everybody to see that I'm not doing well and I'm not behaving in class. That's not good, because you're actually kind of poking that tiger in the eye, and I discourage you from doing it that way. So out of my six considerations for creating consequences in your class, you've got to keep in mind that it's just between you and the student. Don't really think that, you know, because some kids, it might be, oh, I got to check on the board. And I know that used to be the thing to do, but that's really making it personal by putting that out there on the board, because once they step out of class, it's quite possible the other kids are going to go, you got to check on the board. You got to check on the board. Or they're going to do something like, you got a frowny sticker. You know, I don't care how old they are. I mean, they could be making sounds like that even if they're a senior in high school, because it was so personalized when you put it right out there in front of everybody that, you know, Steve did something wrong. Therefore, Steve gets a frowny face, or Steve gets his sticker removed, or Steve gets a check mark on the board. Now, I know some of you might disagree with me about this, but I got to tell you, when you make it personal like that, you're actually challenging some kids to make it personal. To figure out how to continue to annoy you. All right, so if number one is it's just between you and the student, you don't want to disrupt class and you don't want to bring it to everybody else's attention. Number two is involve parents each time. So when you create your consequences, one of the things you're going to take into consideration is the idea that on your consequence, it's going to say something about contacting the parent and guardian every time. Every time. The reason why, now remember, they have phones on them, all right? That's, you could, in some cases, depending on what they've done or how many times you've had to talk to them, you could actually take care of this right now. You could do it right now. Say, all right, everybody, let's go back to work. Steve, let me see you over here. And you step out in the hallway and say, you know, I already gave you a verbal warning. And with the verbal warning, we contacted your parent. So now we're going to contact your parent again, and I want you to call using your phone. All right. Yesterday, I had to call them. Today, you disrupted the class again, and so you made this choice. So go ahead and get them on the phone. What? Really? Well, because you know what happens is that parents see their child's phone number come up. They may not answer it if it's a school, but they'll probably 9 times out of 10 answer it if it's their kid's phone. It works very well. Use this. I've used this technique. My point is that you want to involve parents every time, because I guarantee you, you're going to forget at some point. If all you do is say step number one is verbal warning, that's not good. And that's not good, because what's going to happen is you're going to forget. You may not write it down someplace, and then you're going to try and give them another verbal warning. And then next thing you know is you're in 6, 7, 8 different verbal warnings because you never wrote it down and you never contacted the parent. And the parent says, what are you talking about? You gave him 8 verbal warnings, but you never called me once? That's not good. So once again, my 6 considerations for creating consequences for your class. Number one, you got to keep in mind it's just between you and the student. So don't create situations where part of your consequences are to put something right out there in their face and in the face of the class, like, you know, removing stickers, putting stickers, or putting check marks. Number two, involve parents each and every time. And you can use the kid's phone, have them call their parent so that they can tell the parent what they did and why you're getting ready to talk to them. It's very important. You know, if something happened, you know, don't put it off. Don't save the first time you don't call home. The first time you need to. Let the parent know as soon as you can, as soon as possible. It's important. Well, number three is be as immediate as possible. Be as immediate as possible. That is so important, because sometimes what happens is we put it off, we delay it, and then, you know, nothing happens. You assign no penalty for their actions. It doesn't happen for days. They even forget what happened. And then you even put off talking to the parent for days. Well, there's, you know, what happens there is that it becomes obvious to the kid that you really don't have time to deal with this. So, you know, why can't I just do whatever I want? In order to make an impact on a human being, you got to make that penalty happen fairly quickly to the action. All right. You got to make it fairly quickly to whatever, you know, fairly immediate to when they made that choice. All right. And it's so important. And number one is it's between you and the student. Number two is involve parents each time. Number three is as immediate as possible. That is so important. Number four then is try to handle it yourself. I mean, it is so important for you to handle it yourself. You know, it's funny because I've said this before on one of my earlier podcasts that I've worked with some new teachers who the first words out of their mouth is, can you tell me how to write up a kid? Well, okay, first wrong. You know, you need to be figuring out how to create connections and build relationships and make your procedures. Because ultimately what we're talking about here is that it's, you can't discipline them into behaving. You know, I've said, I love this saying, the idea that there's, you know, the pirate flag flying, you got the Jolly Roger, yo, ho, ho. And the saying that the beatings will continue until morale improves. That just doesn't work. Arr, matey. It doesn't work. And so it doesn't work in the classroom either. If it doesn't work with adults, it sure doesn't work with kids. And you got to try to handle it yourself. And so sometimes what will happen is that kids will try and push your button so that you send for the administrator. You know, some of them want to try and make you say things like, I'm going to push the button and I'm going to get Mr. Assistant Principal in this room. I'll get the principal here. You know, and they want to try and do that. Well, when you actually send for that administrator, now don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about emergencies. You know, you got to know what's an emergency and what's not. A fight in your room is not time to try and figure out how to handle it just yourself, right? But, you know, if it's not an emergency, you really need to handle it yourself, because if you don't and you hand it off to an administrator, the sooner you hand it off to an administrator, the more the student realizes that you don't have control, that they actually have control of you. Because they've made you pass the buck. Send me to somebody else because you can't deal with me. I know some of you are saying, spoken like a true former administrator. That's not what I mean. I guarantee you, the more you can handle those situations yourself, the more the students are going to see you as in control of that room. All right, so once again, let's go back. My six considerations for creating consequences. Number one, remember that it's just between you and the student. Number two, involve parents each and every time. Number three, make it as immediate as possible, the penalty for their actions. Number four, try to handle it yourself. Now, that's all except emergencies, and know the difference between an emergency and something that's something you should be able to handle that's not an emergency. Well, number five then is pose the consequences, but it shouldn't, you know, the consequences that you create shouldn't back you into a corner, which means that you don't want to say, number one, this, number two, that, number three, this, number four, administrator. Boom. Brian Mendler talks about that's exactly what he was looking for, and then he would walk you right through those steps, so you send him straight to the administrator because you backed yourself into a corner. One of my favorite, all-time favorite scenes in a movie about school relationships is Breakfast Club. I love those 80s movies. Love me some 80s movies, man. And in Breakfast Club, if you don't know what's going on there, there are a couple characters that come together. They've all been given Saturday detention, and they have to spend the day with the assistant principal, and they're all in the library at the high school. And, you know, without getting too much of the story, the kids get to know a little bit about each other. But you have this great scene that happens between the one student and the assistant principal, because the one student is not intimidated by the assistant principal, and he can tell his whole persona is about intimidation, and he's attempting to intimidate the young man into stopping what he's doing. And so what happens is that we have this scenario that happens where he's chewing out another kid for being up out of his seat and for not responding to him the right way. And he looks at this young man who seems to have an issue with it, and he says something under his breath. And what the assistant principal does is he says, did you say something? Do you have something to say? And the young man says, no. He said, no, you obviously have something to say. And what happens is that he goads him into saying something else. And so then he tells him, every time you talk, I'm going to give you another day of Saturday school. And he ends up eventually saying, I'm going to own you for the rest of your life. And it gets so ridiculous that the kid knows it. Really? You're going to have me come here for the rest of my life? I don't think so. At some point, you're going to get tired of me. It's such an awesome scene because I've seen adults get themselves into these situations. And by having lines drawn in the sand, you actually are asking for this type of behavior if you do that. So when I go through the types of consequences that you should use, you'll see what I'm talking about. But you got to be careful not to back yourself into a corner where you say, one, two, three, you're out. Because one, two, three, suddenly you're going to be at three, and this kid's going to be out, and it's really not what you wanted to have happen because the situation just kind of got out of hand suddenly. It's really all about building relationships and creating the idea of behind choices and penalties. You don't want to get into lines drawn in the sand because you will lose that. You will create a lose-lose situation, and that's not good in the classroom. So let's kind of review going back, because at number one in my six considerations for creating your consequences, remember that it's just between you and the student. You don't want to create situations where you're putting it right out there in the face of all the other kids. Number two, you want to involve parents each and every time. Each and every time means each and every time. You want to start off with the first consequence, having contact home. So it's not a surprise to the parent when you call them or when you email them or you say, hey, I need to talk to you. Number three then is make it as immediate as possible. Do not wait. Do not wait for the consequences to take place. Do not wait to contact home. All of it needs to be as immediate as possible because otherwise I think you've forgotten and you might forget. Something else may become more important. And then if you forget about me, I know that you actually don't know how to enforce your rules. Well, that's numbers one, two, and three. Number four consideration to take into thought here is try to handle it yourself. Unless it's an emergency, fights are emergencies. Know the difference between an emergency and something that you can handle in the classroom. But try to handle all your situations. And the reason why is because some kids are wanting to see whether you can handle anything or not. Because if you can't, if you immediately send for the administrator, they know they got you. You have no control over them, and therefore you'll push. They'll be able to push you to push the button, or be able to push you to call for an administrator. Number five then is post the consequences, but make sure those consequences that you have written don't back you into a corner. In just a minute, I'm going to go over some suggested consequences that you could use. Well, number six then is remember that it's about owing time, not personal. Some kids will try and make it personal to you, and don't let it get personal. They made a bad choice, and there's a penalty. And with that penalty comes that you owe me time. And now here are the choices, the new choices that you have. I'd like you to serve the time that you owe me for disrupting my class, for wasting time, for wandering around the hallway, for, you know, talking incessantly, you know, whatever the rule is that they've broken, for the disrespect that you create in the classroom. These are the consequences. And listen to my voice. You want to talk in a very low tone, and you want to talk in a very calm tone. You don't want to get all hyper about, you will do this and you will do that and blah, 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 blah. Your voice getting higher and, you know, whatever, and or more demanding or sounding like you're, you know, Darth Vader all of a sudden. You know, no, you just want to talk calm and, you know, don't want to try and imply that their life's coming to an end. But you want to get back to what Harry Wong talks about in the first days of school, which is the understanding that it's really about penalties and choices. Choices you made that led to the penalty, whereas you could have made a choice that led to kudos and a backslap and a, hey man, you did a great job. But instead you made a different choice that led to a penalty. And once again, keep in mind that they're used to this with the video games they play and with the different activities they do. You know, there are all kinds of penalties that happen in those games they play if they make the wrong choice. So that's a world they can understand. So let's review those six. So six considerations to take, you know, into your thoughts as you're getting ready to create and you're getting ready to make your list of consequences is, number one, it's just between you and the student. Number two, involve parents each and every time. Number three, make it as immediate as possible. Number four, try to handle yourself the issue, all right? Try to handle everything yourself. Now remember, you got to know the difference between an emergency and a not, you know, and what is not an emergency. If a cell phone goes off in your room, that should not be an emergency. If the kid looks at you and says, you know, tells you a little bit about how he's feeling about you and sends you a hand gesture, you know, that might be at the emergency level, all right? But you've got to know the difference between emergency and non-emergencies. It's so important because you need to handle those non-emergencies, because when you give up your authority, it is so difficult to get it back and close near to impossible. Well, number five then is, when you post the consequences, make sure that when you read those consequences that you have not backed yourself into a corner. That it doesn't say, one, this happens, two, this happens, three, you're out. You know, you don't want 1, 2, 3, you're out type stuff. You don't want zero tolerance. You don't want the line drawn in the sand type thing. Then number six is, remember, it's about owing time. It's not personal. They stepped across the line. They did something, and now they owe you time. They have a penalty, and they owe you time. When they come to that penalty, by the way, it's important that you do waste their time. You don't want to give them candy. You don't want to reward them. You don't want to have a little joke off where you sit there talking to them and having fun with them and discussing this, that, or the other. You don't want to play games with them. You don't want to let them play games. You don't want to let them sleep. It's all about you come in and you spend time in my classroom. And we'll talk a little bit more about what can happen in those consequences. But you just need to think about, stop from letting it get to personal, because with a kid, it's really not personal either. Some of them will try and make it personal with you, but don't let it get there, all right? So with those six considerations, let's now talk about what your consequences might look like. I'm a huge believer that we need to give opportunities for kids to save face, because they'll back themselves into a corner and they'll do something that makes them go, oops, but they may not want to tell you that they go, oops. And now they've put themselves in a corner in front of other kids, and their only reaction is to do one of two things. One is to strike back, or two is to, you know, just kind of turn into themselves. And so what I'm talking about here is that it is so awesome if you have the mindset of, we all make mistakes. And so you go to the child and you say, Steve, I just want to talk to you about what are the rules of the classroom? Well, be respectful is the number one overall rule. Right. And so let's talk about what you just did. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, this is what you just did. Is that respectful? Now, once again, it's between the student and myself, right? We're over here talking in a corner while others are working on stuff, and I'm trying to keep this just between the two of us. So don't make me tell you what you did. Steve, just go ahead and tell me what you did, because I'm watching you. And I can tell you verbatim, but I don't want you to go there. I want you to tell me what you did. And give them a chance to say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Because some kids, when given that opportunity, they will let you let them save face. That is an important strategy to use in de-escalation. I kid you not. Instead of coming at them and saying, Steve, stop doing that. So you've embarrassed me, and now I have to decide whether I'm going to respond to you another way, that I might react with a fight idea. Right? You don't want to push me that way. Instead, you want to see if you can let me save face. All right, so if we're at the situation where you need to give a consequence, I would have my first one as being a verbal warning with a discussion between the two of us, and I actually call home if it's that type of thing that I need to actually go to step one. Because sometimes you're not going to need to go to step one, and you don't need to create this huge long tally until the child actually makes you go there. Because remember, it's a mindset not about punishment. It's a mindset of penalty because of the poor choice they made. Because sometimes they make good choices. And in the good choices, you say, you know what, Steve, you did an awesome job today. You really listened to me. You didn't talk out of turn. You raised your hand. Whatever it is, you know, I may make good choices, and you can reward me for that. And the reward simply comes with a pat on the back and telling me, this is what you did that was so right. So if number one, when they push you to that area, is verbal warning, discussion, call home. Remember, always call home. Number two, go ahead and start with call home. And this is where you're going to do some sort of a detention, break detention, after school detention, during school detention, whatever you have opportunities to do. Because remember, you need to be able to handle this. And it needs to be about time, which means that if they wasted your time and the class's time, then you need to bring them in where they need, you know, you're going to basically waste their time. They're going to sit. They're not going to do homework. It's not a homework help session. It's time for them to come in, and they just sit. So when you assign something like that, then you need to call home because they may not be able to stay that day because they ride a bus. But if you call home and talk to someone and say, hey, this is what happened and I need your help with this. If you talk like that with a parent, you're going to get their help 9 times out of 10. And actually, it's probably more like 9.8 times out of 10. So then number 3, if we get to that point, is call home, some sort of a detention again, and repeat with the parent. Because this time, when you talk with the parent, you're going to say, can we talk? Because we're at the third time for this, you know, similar sort of action. And I'd really like for us to just come together. Can you meet tomorrow afternoon and bring Steve with you? Sure. You know, and so this time, maybe you skip over the detention. Instead, you just have the meeting with the parent, whatever. I mean, the point is that, and by the way, I'm going to write these and I'm going to put them in my show notes. But the idea here is that, you know, we're talking with a parent and you're seeking their help in helping you with their child. And remember, when I use the term parent, by the way, I mean guardian, that aunt or uncle, grandparent that they live with or stay with. You know, it's whoever it is that you can reach out to that might be able to help you. And number 4, when you get there, this is when we can start talking about maybe creating a behavior plan where you work with a parent and say, hey, this is what happened today. I need Steve to serve another detention with me. And I really need this to happen. We're going to create a contract, and it's going to say these are the behaviors that he's exhibiting. And, you know, let's talk about each time I'm going to reach out to you, and he's going to have some a penalty to deal with over that. Because what I really want to have happen is that he becomes a better student in my classroom. And this is where your consequences stop, because what you talk to a kid who gets to number 3 about is you talk to them about the idea that, you know, let's keep this in this classroom. We don't need to involve administrators. We need to work this out, and I know that you can help me help you do a better job behaving in the class. And so I strongly encourage you to look at these types of consequences, because what it really does is it says you recognize that sometimes we can make poor choices, and it's okay to do that. They just got to know there's a penalty there. But I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's not going to ruin your life because you made a poor choice. Instead, what's going to happen, though, is I am going to expect you to serve my detention. Now, let's talk just for a second about detentions. When you create a detention, if you're allowed to in your school, make sure you check with administrators, because sometimes some schools have their own detention and they don't let teachers have theirs. I strongly encourage you to create your own, because remember, you need to be in control of the situation, all right? Once you hand it off to the administrators, that's not good because you give away some of your power. But let's just talk about the detention. Don't make it stupid long. Yeah, I know, I use the S word. What I mean by stupid long is you decide that they're going to serve 2 hours of detention. Oh my goodness. If your school has after school detention, I'll guarantee it's not 2 hours. Usually it's about an hour. Well, if you make yours longer than the school detention, a lot of kids are going to go, why should I show up to the teacher's detention when it's longer than the school's detention? So I'm just going to show up to theirs. And what the kid doesn't think about, though, is that means that they're going to be seen as insubordinate, and so they're going to get referred to the assistant principal, and then it says in their record that they were insubordinate, that refused to show up to the teacher's detention, and now got the administrative detention. That's not a good choice either. So, you know, my point here is simply this, is that, you know, when you're dealing with creating detentions, don't make them about, you know, I'm going to make them spend the entire 2016 year, the 2015 year, 2017 year, 2018 year, with you. That's just getting back to the Breakfast Club movie. That's like the guy saying, I'm going to have you for the rest of your natural born life. Ay, ay, ay. You don't want to make that irrational statement, because there's no way you're going to want to spend your entire life with them for their entire life. That isn't going to happen, is it? So in looking at these rules and, you know, these consequences, what some people will say is that you got to have it this, you got to have it that. Well, you got to remember what Brian Mendler talks about, is that he's the type of kid that wants to walk you through your line in the sand. He wants to push you to that line in the sand and make you say, step 3, you get sent to the assistant principal. Oh yeah, well, here I am. Step number 3, ta-da, what are you going to do? And you say, to the assistant principal. Well, your power and control is gone, and he got what he wanted out of your class. That's why your consequences deal more with, let's get the parent in here to help me figure out how to reach you to get you to understand. It's all about penalties. You made a poor choice, and the poor choice leads to me wasting your time like you wasted my time, as well as I'm going to bug your parent about coming to me, or your whoever it is, your guardian, and us figuring out how we can get you to behave. Now, I want to make a side note here, because sometimes you need to be very creative in working with kids. I've been in a classroom where a teacher was having really struggling with a kid who every once in a while would get up and go do something. And I watched this kid a couple of times when I observed the class. And one of the things I noticed is that, like, when the class finished with the assignment, but the teacher was working with somebody, the kid knew that the teacher would want the borrowed textbooks to be collected and put up on the shelf. Well, normally the teacher would do this. Well, I watched this kid get up and say, hey, let me have your textbook, let me have your textbook, let me have your textbook. He took up all the textbooks and he put them on the shelf, made them up there nice and neatly. Then he sat down. And she looked out and she said to everybody, okay, go ahead and start handing your textbooks. And one of the kids looked at her and said, so-and-so already picked them up. That let me know about him a lot. And so when I met with her, I said, you know, he tends to get up during class and stuff like this, but I've watched him now a couple of times do something for you, which tells me that he's not doing stuff against you. It's just that he needs to get up and do something. So why not create a job for him? And maybe that job is that he gets to hand out books and gets to take up books. But you actually have a conversation with him about, you know, I can't have you just getting up in the middle of class. So would this kind of help you if you did this type of job? It doesn't work 99% of the time, but it comes pretty close that some kids who need to get up and just move, if you coordinate with them opportunities for them to get up and move and do something that's a little different and helpful, they'll do it, and it'll help control their just desire to suddenly pop up out of their seat. I watch a young man go up behind a teacher while she's talking, get up from his seat, walk behind her, and straighten a picture behind her, and then go sit back down. Now, that picture must have really been bugging her. Well, in some classrooms, the teacher would have said, where are you going? Steve, sit down right now. And the kid would have gone back and sat down, but probably would have popped back up again. Well, in that classroom, one of the things that we worked on was figuring out how to create a job for that young man that would help him during class and not disrupt the classroom and not make the teacher yell something about, if you do that again, I'm going to. See, that's the wrong type of thought process about consequences. We got to remember that it's not I'm going to. It's that it's about choices. You made a poor choice. You made the wrong choice, and therefore there's a penalty for your action. It's not about punishment. I'm not going to throw you out the window. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to ruin you for life. I'm not going to give you ISS for life or whatever. It's that you owe me time. And this is how we're going to do this. And we're also going to call home because I need them to know and I need their help and support. And when you call up the parent, don't be afraid of them. Talk to them as soon as you can. And let me remind you that if you have the opportunity to step outside the classroom with a young man or young lady and you say, go ahead and pull out your phone, I need you to call home. Yeah, their parents often will pick up that cell phone because that's their child calling and they don't normally call them during the school day. So kind of bringing this to a close, let me just remind you, in creating consequences for class, because you need to create them, you need to create them for your rules. And remember, your rules, you only have 3 to 5. I refer you back to Harry Wong and his chapters on creating the classroom discipline plan. Well, in creating the consequences, you want to make sure that you don't draw lines in the sand, don't back them into the corners. And I have these 6 considerations. And number one is, you keep it just between you and the student. Don't make it public. Number 2, you involve parents each and every time. Number 3, when you're creating your consequences, you keep in mind that you've got to make it as immediate as possible. Number 4, you try and handle everything yourself, except for those emergencies. Remember, know the difference between an emergency and something you can handle in the classroom. But you don't want to give away your power and authority. And every time you call an administrator that's not an emergency, the kids see it as you giving away your power and authority. Well, number 5 then is, when you post these consequences, because they need to be able to see them, just like they got to be able to see your rules, anywhere in that classroom, they need to be able to see the consequences. So they're reminded of this, because the kids who don't want to get in trouble, they're going to look up there and it's going to remind them of what it is. But you want to make sure that when you write them, those don't look like a challenge to them to step across your line in the sand. That's not how you want to do it. It's not written in threatening language. It's just written in plain and simple. This is what's, you know, this is what the penalties are going to be if you start pushing me this route. And they should see loud and clear up there that you're going to be contacting whoever their parent or guardian is. So then number six is that you got to remember it's about time. Don't let it become personal. It's about time. I want to get my time back. I want to get the time back in which you wasted, that type of thing. It's about time. It's about, you know, we wasted time here, so I want to get some of that time back. And make sure that those detentions that you create are reasonable. They don't need to be 3 hours. They need to be like 15 minutes, and then you can grow it incrementally. You can go from 15 minutes to 30 minutes to 45. Once you get to 45, that's probably pretty good right in that range. I wouldn't make it any longer than that. So keep in mind, these are my six considerations. Once again, at the bottom of my show notes, I'll include some suggested consequences. And keep this in mind as well. One of the unique things about teaching is that it is so experiential. Sometimes you're going to try stuff and it's going to work wonderfully. Sometimes you're going to try stuff and it's going to bomb miserably. So keep this in mind, because sometimes with, you know, your rules and consequences, you're going to discover what works in this class doesn't necessarily work in this class. What works for this child doesn't necessarily work for that child. And that's why you got to be careful of drawing that line in the sand saying that 1, 2, 3, boom, you're out of here. Because you're going to run into that kid who's going to say, go ahead, I'm at number 2. Are you ready to send me to number 3? Because I am. La, 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 la. And you say, number 3, to the assistant principal. And then you've given away your control and you've actually accomplished nothing, because the kid knows that he can push your buttons or she can push your buttons and get sent out of the room. I challenge you to take into thought what I talked about today. When you're creating your classroom management plan, you want to take a look at the procedures you have in class so that you've addressed how you want things done, and the kids understand that. You want to make sure that you have your 3 to 5 rules and you write it positively. You don't want to write rules in the format of no, no, no. You want to write it in a positive manner, like be respectful. And then you want to have consequences for those rules. And your consequences need to be written in such a way in which they understand that it's not personal, it's just that you made a poor choice, and it's not punishments, it's about penalties. You earned this penalty because you made the wrong choice, and I expect you to serve the penalty. And you talk in a very calm tone, like I'm doing now. Great talking with you today. You can do this.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes Store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.